This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Health and Living. I'm Lee Chui Lin, and joining me in the studio today is our Health and Living producer, Tina Camellia. Hi.
Hello.
So Tina's in because we are doing our usual weekly roundup of the news that has kind of shaped our weeks health-wise. And we try to get a theme. We don't always get there. Sometimes the news is just the news. But what is our theme this week?
The theme this week is music and sound in both ways, whether therapeutically or as torture.
Right. That's a forewarning to how we're going to end the show today. We're talking about torture for some reason. But anyway, just to take you through, just to give you an idea of what we'll be talking about. First, we're going to be addressing news about how sound actually shapes your brain. And this is coming out of research done by neuroscientist Seth Horowitz, who is interested in the way sounds, which are essentially vibrations, have shaped the evolution of the human brain. Vibration sensitivity is found in even the most primitive life forms, such as bacteria. And obviously, it's so critical to your environment, knowing that something else is moving near you, whether it's a predator or it's food. We no longer really use this, but I think many of us still listen out for danger, if and when that's something that happens to us. And so the point is, everywhere you go, there's vibration. It tells you something. We see music now being used as complementary therapy for mental health illnesses, Alzheimer's, even cancer treatment. So we'll be delving into exactly what music does to the brain. And that's our first story. Our second.
And then we'll move on to another study from a neuroscientist, Nina Kraus of Northwestern University, who has spent the better part of her professional career researching how sound affects the brain. What she's found has important implications for how adults and children manage the sounds that envelop them. And she says, sound is invisible, but it's a tremendously powerful force. For better or worse, it shapes your brain and how you learn. So we'll get some tips about the environment that we can create for us to learn better.
On that note, well, the opposite of learning better, actually. Some research has proven what our parents have been saying all along. Modern pop music really is worse than older generations of pop music, and that it has negative effects on your brain. If you're chiefly a pop music fan, you're likely to be less creative than any other kind of music lover. You may disagree with this, and if you do, again, our phone lines will be open. We would love to have a conversation with you about the music that you listen to, the music that you love. The number to call would be 03-7710-9000. You can also text us at 01620019000 or tweet us at BFM Radio. And we end on a downer.
Yes, we're going to find out the psychology of sound torture, because last week the Canadian town of Kensington came up with an ingenious plan to deter its residents from drinking and driving during this Christmas season. So we find out how psychologically damaging can sound torture be. I mean, it has been the basis of the widely discussed torture in Guantanamo and Abu Ghraib.
So all that will be coming up in our show. We'll kick things off after this track by Ray Charles. It's a very recognizable riff. We'll see you back after this. BFM 89.9, Ray Charles with I Got a Woman. Good afternoon. You are listening to Health and Living. I'm Lee Chui Lin, and together with Health and Living producer Tina Camellia, we're going through news of the week to do with health, of course. This week, our theme is sound and music, and to kick things off, a bit of a classic. So music can heal. We've heard this before. Rhythm and melody have been part of ritualistic healing practices as far back as ancient times. And in modern days, music has been used as complementary therapy for mental health and illnesses, Alzheimer's, even cancer. And today we find out exactly what music does to the brain. Before that, though, do weigh in. Let us know. We're taking an informal sort of test, I suppose. What kind of music do you listen to? What kind of music do you enjoy? Later we'll tell you a little bit about what it means. But first, let us know. You can call in at 03-7710-9000. You can text 01620019000 or tweet us at BFM Radio.
So maybe you have different genres for music for different activities. So for example, if you're working out, you might listen to certain types of music.
Well, I don't usually work out, but when I do, I think probably rap music, hip-hop music is my choice of genre, I would say, yeah.
When I'm working out, something fast-paced,
usually trance?
I listen to a lot of rock when I'm working out, but stuff like Goo Goo Dolls, Bon Jovi, occasionally the heavier, a little bit heavier stuff like Led Zeppelin.
I like angry, fast-paced songs, so I listen to a lot of Royal Blood, Jungle, Foals, things like that, stuff that really gets your heart rate going.
I will still listen to those like soft, relaxing music when I work out because I just like soft and relaxing music.
Oh, I've never done that in a long time. But normally on the way to play football, I would put on something fast and upbeat. So it could be punk rock, it could be hardcore, basically fast and upbeat, just to keep me pumping a little bit.
Normally it would have to be something a bit more upbeat, fast tempo. EDM music does well, something trancey, something house, electro. It can't be music that is a lot of lyrics based. It has to be music that has a lot of beats and movement. That gets me moving.
I like worship songs, so I would try to listen to the EDM versions, or sometimes I listen to Justin Bieber, the EDM version. So yeah.
So that is a pretty wide selection, I think, of the different types of music people listen to. Do you listen to music when you work out?
No, I don't actually. I just like the sound of the barbells. So that's my music.
I used to listen to music, and it used to be sort of my my time for all the guilty pleasures in the world, all the Britney, all the, you know, just all the kinds of music that I wouldn't listen to in other parts of my life, but they just have the right beat. But recently I've taken up listening to podcasts when working out, which I don't know, I think that's just an indication of growing up or growing old. But moving away from working out, some people also might listen to things for stress relief and relaxation. Here's a small sampler of what they had to say.
This might be weird, but hip-hop, rock, or rap, yeah, to relax.
Two kinds. It's either trance or sad music, I guess.
I listen to a lot of classical and jazz to relax. For classical, I like Debussy and Tchaikovsky's, a lot of the Impressionists.
I listen to mostly metal songs for serious listening. But for casual listenings, I'll be listening to pop songs and maybe rock kappa.
Either classical or instrumentals. But I also like Bombay Bicycle Club for relaxing. Sometimes I just listen to Rainy Mood.
Instrumental, as well as soft pop songs, but mostly Mandarin pop songs.
To relax or to not do anything is normally things that I can memorize. So from pop to rock to reggae to hip-hop to anything that I can sing along to, actually, basically. So nothing in particular, but sounds that are easy listening and not necessarily electronic music that's slow, but anything, reggae, ska, whatever that's slow.
Oh, that will be a lot of jazz music. But these days also jazz has like funky jazz kind of style, so that kind of puts me to sleep as well. But jazz is definitely my go-to chill out music.
Actually, I do listen to instrumental music.
So let us know, what do you listen to? What kind of music do you like for, you know, all the different parts of your life? Let us know. That number is 03-7710-9000. You can text 016-201-9000 or tweet us at BFM Radio.
So music therapy as an organized clinical profession was conceived more fully after the World War II in response to the demand to treat returning veterans. Subsequent research showed that most of us intuitively regulate our moods with music, from listening to music that motivates us to run faster to playing songs to help us relax before sleep. In biological terms, melodious sounds help encourage the release of dopamine in the reward area of the brain, as would eating a delicacy, looking at something appealing, or smelling a pleasant aroma, according to a physician of integrative medicine with the Mayo Clinic, Dr. Amit Sood. Selecting the most effective workout music is not as simple as queuing up high-energy songs. Some psychologists have suggested that people have an innate preference for rhythms at a frequency of 120 beats per minute, or about 2 beats per second. So in the studies, when people are asked to tap or to walk to certain beats, to a certain beat, many people unconsciously settle into a rhythm of 122 BPM. An analysis of more than 74,000 popular songs produced between 1960 and 1990 found that 120 BPM was the prevalent pulse.
So songs that fall within this category would include Lady Gaga, who seems to recently have been coming up on the show quite a lot, with songs like Bad Romance, Just Dance and Poker Face, all falling into this category. If you're into something a little more classic, you might hear, you might recognize this rhythm in Michael Jackson, for example, with Smooth Criminal, Don't Stop Till You Get Enough, Thriller, etc. This puts me in mind of what we've always been told about CPR, mm-hmm. how Staying Alive, for example, is the song. I don't remember the beats per minute at this exact point in time, but I know that you're supposed to kind of pump somebody's chest to that rhythm, to the rhythm of Staying Alive. So just a bonus fact. Mm-hmm. In the meantime, though, we have Yong on the line. Good afternoon, Yong.
Hi, Julian.
Hi. Are you calling to tell us what music you listen to?
The oldies and there will be 60s, 70s, some of 80s, some of 90s, and also the noughties.
Do you have, different music that you like to listen to for different times, like if you're working or if you're relaxing, driving, that sort of thing?
I believe the one that I listen to are soothing and not those grunge rock or not just jarring type. So I believe I pick, they are soothing to me. And also I like the classical. Not all, but those Symphony 9 and quite a number of others, Blue Danube and so on, classical.
If you stay tuned, Yong, later we're going to be talking about what different music tastes might say about your personality. So stay tuned for that and thanks for calling.
Welcome.
Okay, so moving back to why music is... why we're talking about music in the context of health, it's because it might actually help with things like heart disease. According to a 2009 Cochrane review, some music reduces heart rate, respiratory rates and blood pressure in those who have actually got coronary heart disease.
Yep, and of course, mental and neurological disorders, people with them can also benefit from music. The use of music therapy is on the rise because it shows effectiveness in treating symptoms of schizophrenia, amnesia, dementia, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's disease, mood disorders, speech disorders, and Tourette syndrome, among others.
It's also been proven useful in the recovery of motor skills when we're talking about stroke patients, for example. Rhythmical auditory stimulation and musical context in combination with traditional gait therapy improve the ability of stroke patients to walk, which I think is just a fancy way of saying that having the right rhythm combined with reteaching somebody how to use their gait again is a very helpful thing. So as promised, up next we're going to take a closer look at genres and how that shapes how that shapes maybe a bit of your personality. If you would like to give us a call, that number is 03-7710-9000. You can also text 016-201-9000 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be right back. Good afternoon. You are listening to Health and Living on The Bigger Picture. I'm Lee Chui Lin. And with me in the studio, our Health and Living producer, Tina Camellia. Today, we're taking you through stories that are all to do with how your health can be affected by music and by sound. Earlier, we had Yong call us up to tell us the kinds of music he listens to, sort of more soothing classical sounds, I think. He mentioned oldies as well. If you'd like to let us know what you listen to, and I promise you there's a reason we're asking, that number to call is 03-7710-9000. You can also text 016-201-9000 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, bad news for people who listen exclusively to modern pop music.
Yeah, so research are proving what our parents have been saying all along. Modern pop music is really worse than the older generation of pop music. So apparently you're more likely to be less creative than any other kind of music lover. So according to Adrian North of Scotland's Heriot-Watt University, who is an expert on music psychology, he carried out an extensive research on the social and applied psychology of music, in particular the relationship between pop music culture and deviant behavior in adolescence, music and consumer behavior, and the role of musical preference in everyday life. In 2008, he published the largest study yet of musical taste involving 36,000 people, 60 countries, and 3 years of work. He asked participants to rank their favorite genres of music, and then certain aspects of their personalities were also measured by a questionnaire. And he discovered that the most common characteristic among all genre listeners was creativity. But one group of listeners showed a significant lack of creativity, which is pop music lovers.
So this, of course, doesn't necessarily mean that stupid people love pop, just that perhaps pop trains us to expect less from our artistic and creative lives. And our question to you here is, do you listen to pop music? And would you still listen to it if Adrian North of Scotland's Heriot Watt University is telling you perhaps it correlates with a lack of creativity? And before we get into this notion of pop music and how it affects our brains, do you listen to pop music, Tina?
Sometimes. I think when I'm cooking, for example, I just want something that I can sing along to without... Because, you know, I grew up in the 90s, right? So that's like the glory years of pop music, and I can sing along to those songs very well. Just muscle memory for me. So
yeah, but that's nostalgia, isn't it?
Yeah.
So that's a different sort of thing, because when it comes to modern pop music, I find that strangely, I think the advent of the kinds of streaming technologies that shape the way we listen to music now, I think in some ways that has actually killed popular music for me, because I no longer... Well, perhaps this is a bad thing to say working in radio, but I no longer listen to the radio for music, which perhaps explain why we work where we do. But I mean, it is that way, that I don't actually know many of the pop music that I find myself listening to, or that I think contemporaries are listening to. But anyway.
Yeah, so pop music hasn't always been this way. Researchers from the Medical University of Vienna in Austria measured the variety of words, chord variations, and volume of songs across the decades since the 1950s. They surveyed more than 500,000 albums and found that modern pop is a watered-down version of what John, Paul, George, and Ringo used to rock the charts with. So since the 1950s, vocal timbre, which is the character of the voice, has become less diverse, and pitch content has become totally monochromatic, which means fewer chord and melodic variations, while everything has just gotten much louder.
Record labels are pouring resources into data analysis tools, using them to predict which songs are actually going to be the next breakout hit. And because human beings crave familiarity, which is why formulaic pop songs do so well.
Yeah.
For example, hundreds of recent pop songs feature the same chord progression, parodied very famously by Australian musical comedy group The Axis of Awesome in their 2009 song Four Chords.
Yeah, these four, here. One, two, three, four chords.
Sorry, let me get this straight, Chicken Little. What you're trying to say is you can take those four chords, repeat them, and pump out every pop song ever. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Do you recognise this?
Yeah, that is Don't Stop Believing by Journey.
It's a great song.
Very original.
There's a few more
song
that fit. Check it out.
My life is brilliant. My love is pure. I saw an angel. Of that I'm sure.
Well, that's just two songs that are similar. That's
forever young.
Three
I
songs.
I wanna be forever young. I won't hesitate no more. It cannot wait. I'm yours. This is the way you left me. I'm not pretending. No love, no hope, no glory, no happy ending. 'Cause you were amazing. We did amazing things. If I could, then I would. I'd go wherever you will go.
And can you feel the love tonight?
And she will be loved. Yeah, she will.
Your feet.
So proving the point that we were trying to make earlier about chord progression, again, you can look that up. That's the Axis of Awesome, and you can find that on YouTube, Four Chords. In the meantime, we have Jess on the line. Good afternoon, Jess.
Hi, afternoon, ladies.
Hi.
So I heard that you want to know what people like to listen to. And personally, I think I like classical music and jazz. And it doesn't matter what time of the day is it. Because sometimes, like in the traffic, there's like huge traffic and jams and things like that. And if I will sometimes switch to rock and things like that, it is actually very stressful. But I found out that, you know, once I changed the selection of songs to those of jazz and classical type, it's actually quite helpful to in face of all these adversity. And also, if I used to have this, you know, like the rooster alarm clock waking up in the morning.
Right.
And after some time, you wake up with a shock and things like that. And there was, by chance, there was one day that you switched to this a radio, you know, like having a song played as an alarm. And what we found out is that the day seems better. And after talking about it, I was thinking like, okay, maybe we should switch the alarms to songs as well and see if, you know, it makes any difference.
And that's working for you?
Yeah, it's working for me. So I thought that, okay, with a good song, it starts a good day. I don't know how much it's scientifically influenced, but yeah, it makes my day. So, yeah.
Thanks so much for calling, Jess.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. And now we have Rama on the line. Good afternoon, Rama. I'm here to talk about your music.
Yeah, hi. First of all, I'd like to talk about my personal preference. Then I'll go into some other issues that you all brought up very interestingly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was born with rock music, you know. My generation, I'm in my 60s now. So my generation was Woodstock and that sort of thing. So I was also a band boy, so percussion was my thing. So I had great influence of this. But I assume that when you talk about music, you're talking about an overall view of things because you can break it down to melody, lyrics, and also instruments. And there's so many ways to look at it. And the root thing I notice is all about vibration, if you know what I mean.
Right.
Yeah. So somehow or other, we human beings, I suspect, our brains are tuned to react to vibration because some animals even have certain parts of their body that react to vibration as a survival skill. But first, I noticed that when it comes to music, there are some kinds of vibration. This refers me to rhythms and beats and that sort of thing. But strangely, as I've grown older, I also evolved. You see, as the music evolved, I evolved too. And the slightly noisier music, mellow to quieter sounds, which are more meaningful. And coming to a comment that I would like to make, very interestingly, if you look at Indian Carnatic music, some of these are actually music for worshipping, very strangely. And recently they have found that the whole universe is in a form of a vibration, the string theory. So all this has a link, and I hope I'm not babbling too much, but at the end of the day, I think music is part of our soul.
Thank you very much, Rama. I mean, personally, do you, right now, if you had to kind of make a music recommendation, if somebody asked you for one, what would you say?
I would go heavy into Deep Purple and Led Zeppelin and everything else. Because they're somehow etched in my memory, you see, and it brings back, you see, this good feeling memories come back in links to the music somehow or other.
Yep. Thank you so much for calling, Rama.
All right, have a great day.
You too. Okay, we're just going to go very quickly into what all those, all of you, thank you for sharing. And after this, we're going to go into, you know, what it might say about you. But we do have other people on the line. This is Michael. Good afternoon, Michael.
Hey.
Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to express, I don't think pop music really is music. it's not an insult. I think really it's the modern version of poetry. I don't listen much for the melody, that's for sure. I mean, it's monotony. I mean, you'd agree with that. But I think it's more towards the significance of poetry, just put in simple ways. I mean, of course, you had Xhosa in the old days, and they didn't have music. Kind of gets boring and monotone, but people liked it because it kind of expressed, you know, it's sort of like a moment in life, something you can really relate to. But if you wanted something like with creativity and you wanted to really expand your mind, you'd listen to something like Unige Onigen by Tchaikovsky or be tantalized by, you know, the little chords that you get in jazz and things like that. That's music, I think. So I think it's really the question of purpose of what you're listening to.
And what are you listening to at the moment, Michael?
Listening to you on BFF.
Thank you very much. But when you're done with us and you're going to change over to music, what are you going to listen to?
Well, I usually stream for jazz music and, the German music on the internet radio, or I'll listen to something on the classicals in England with the BBC. But if I'm in a really foul mood, then, of course, I will probably turn on Tina Turner because I relate to her. So it's just the words that she comes out with her. So it really depends.
Thanks for calling, Michael. Okay, so we've had a number of different things. Rama said he'd go kind of heavy. Michael listens to jazz. People have been sharing what they listen to. Jess, you know, a good song makes a whole day. And this is what some of the results have shown. So blue, jazz and soul fans apparently have high self-esteem, are creative, outgoing, gentle and at ease. And again, this is taken from 36,000 people across 60 countries. So that's a lot. And so we're generalizing, but, you know, it's interesting nevertheless.
Yep. And classical music fans are apparently introverts.
Rap fans, of which we both are, apparently have high self-esteem and are outgoing. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I think our self-esteem is fine. I don't know about outgoing, but anyway.
Yeah. Dance fans are creative and outgoing, but not gentle.
And Rama, rock and heavy metal fans are creative, gentle and at ease, but maybe have low self-esteem. Again, this is Adrian North, not us, and are less hardworking or outgoing. And chart pop fans have high self-esteem, are hardworking, outgoing and gentle, but aren't creative and perhaps are not at ease. And again, just to finish, something that might be very familiar to listeners of modern music. This is known as the millennial whoop. We'll be right back after this. You're listening to BFM 89.9.
And we started from nothing.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Health and Living on The Bigger Picture. I am Lee Chui Lin, and I'm joined in the studio by Health and Living producer Tina Camellia. Hello, Tina.
Hey.
So you may notice the funky sounds of Aloe Black playing in the background, and the reason why we have him on is, well, not really because we're talking about him in particular, at least not with our next story because it's very insulting, but because today we're talking about all things to do with music and sound and how that affects your health and your well-being. Earlier, we talked about the different types of, how different types of music might reveal different things about your personality. Now for something just really entirely different because we're focusing on the psychology of sound torture.
Right. So last week, the Canadian town of Kensington came out with a plan to deter residents from drinking and driving during the holiday season.
And so this is their grand master plan. Again, trust the Canadians to come up with this. Yeah. It is, after all, their sort of, this is their fault. Mm-hmm. So, yes, you guessed it. It's with Nickelback songs. I'm sorry to add on to the bagging on Nickelback. I know it's been done 1,000 times over, but you know what? Sometimes you just can't help yourself.
Yeah. So the police department posted on Facebook last week, when we catch you, and we will catch you, on top of a hefty fine, a criminal charge and a year's driving suspension, we will also provide you with a bonus gift of playing the officer's copy of Nickelback in the cruiser on the way to jail. Constable Rob Hartland told CNN the department doesn't actually hate the ban, Canada's most questionable gift to the world. But this week, the police department apologized to Nickelback after the message went viral and a band spokesperson reportedly requested for it to be taken down.
Okay, this is the most Canadian story in the history of the world, I think, you know, to have the police department actually apologize to Nickelback, who, by the way, I think have been pretty public about knowing that they're not the best band in the world. And they've kind of made a joke out of the fact that so many people hate them in the past, but I think maybe this might have been one insult too far. So we want to know about whether or not you consider certain songs torture. Would being threatened with a bad song make you think twice about doing something unlawful? Do you have a song that you would consider musical torture? We actually have a call on the line now, Joanne. So let's see what Joanne has to say.
The thing with musical torture is that people keep playing it on replay on and on and on and on until you cannot tahan, right? And that's exactly what I'm going through now. My brother won't stop playing. We don't talk anymore. It's from his room. And he always plays very loudly. I cannot tahan anymore. Is that torture?
I don't know if that constitutes torture, Joanne, but your brother might have a bright future somewhere else, I think, in maybe working in other parts of the world. But thanks for calling. So would you consider what Joanne's brother is doing kind of torture?
It's pretty much the same technique that's being used by, or that were used, you know, when people discuss torture in Guantanamo and Abu Ghraib, because that's basically it. It's playing the same song over and over again, and you have no control over when it's played or how many times it's being
played. Or how loud it's going to be played.
It is, yeah.
Music and sound have been usually used as part of a combination of interrogation methods. And today it's recognized by international bodies as amounting to torture. So Joanne, if you want to talk to your brother about it, there are actually facts and figures behind this. It's currently banned by the United Nations Convention Against Torture, but it is still permitted under US law.
The phrase loud music appeared 17 times in the recently declassified executive summary of a still classified CIA torture report. There is currently no international law on the books on just how loud is too loud when it comes to either interrogational or punitive torture.
While it's acknowledged by the US interrogation experts that it causes discomfort, it's also been characterized by them as causing no long-term effects, which I'm not sure is accurate, but music is selected to degrade and destabilize prisoners. For example, they're often chosen to be as culturally offensive as possible at devastatingly loud volume for long but unpredictable periods. And that means that prisoners were deprived of control, control of sleep, control of volume, but also of their ability to find an oral space that was not invaded by their captors.
We got promoted from babysitters to condition setters. We got implemented into the plan. The military intelligence people will come up there and say, hey, play music at this time, play it loud. If you got to, take the megaphone, stick it right in front of the door and turn it all the way up so the guy can't pray, you know, you can't sleep, totally disorient them. So I played this song called Hip Hop Hooray over and over and over again. So the Hip Hop Hooray, ho, that's what it sounded like. After a while, the Iraqis were saying, hey, ho, this is not working. So I changed it and put on heavy metal music. I put on Metallica, like Enter the Sandman. It's a very loud song. Then they were screaming like, ah, I don't like it. But after a while, they were numb to that. I guess they were so deaf from the guitar, the A chord, that they were able to, you know, sleep. Go figure. I put in country music. That worked. They couldn't stand it. Like, oh my God, you know, cut it off. By the time the interrogators would come to take them out to cells, they were more than ready to go. Like, please take me.
That's a clip from an Errol Morris documentary, Standard Operating Procedure, an investigation of the notorious Abu Ghraib prison scandal in Iraq. So the question here then is, what sorts of sounds are we talking about? As you know, as that particular officer described, it can be difficult to find the exact right sound. But we do have the CIA's mixtape, or at least what we know of it.
Yep. So it's a pretty eclectic collection, including Bruce Springsteen's Born in the USA, Christina Aguilera's Dirty, Barney the Dinosaur's I Love You, Metallica's Enter Sandman, which the officer referenced to, Rage Against the Machine's Killing in the Name Of, and also songs by Meatloaf, Aerosmith, AC/DC, Marilyn Manson, Tupac, Dr. Dre, Eminem, Britney Spears, Matchbox 20.
Of course, a lot of these songs were huge hits. They were either huge hits or they were songs that were made popular by children's TV show. I mean, in the case of Barney the Dinosaur, I think there's also been Sesame Street that's been used. There's also been South Korea using K-pop, you know. And so the point is, I guess here, music is really value neutral. I mean, people produce it, they put it out in the world, and then what we make of it and how we use it is just really up to us.
Yeah. Of course, it can be used to heal, to comfort, to console, to offer existential transcendence and emotional escape, but it can also be weaponized.
And with that in mind, this has been 8 years ago now. Mm-hmm. I wonder whether anything's come of it, because in 2008, on the 9th of December, the Associated Press did report that various musicians were coordinating their objections to the use of their music as a technique for softening up captives through an initiative called Zero DB. And I can imagine that if I were a musician, I would object to this, especially not just because I would be insulted by the use of my music, but I think primarily because if you have a heart, you don't necessarily want to imagine your music being used as torture.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, a lot of musicians have come together to make music like Let the Music Heal Your Soul. I think that was in the early 2000s. And like earlier this year, Black Eyed Peas came together with a few other musicians to remake their
Where Is the Love?
Yes, that's right. So music, I think, used in that way is great.
In any case, thank you so much for listening to us today, for joining us on our little musical tour through the headlines. You have been listening today to Health and Living on The Bigger Picture. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.